We looked last week at leadership at the feet of Jesus, and Joshua learned several things that were very important for leadership, and we're all to be leaders in whatever realm we're in. We're Christians, we're kings and priests, we're to be leaders in those. Today we want to look at another person who is at the feet of Jesus, and that's Peter. And in all this, it's preparatory. We're always being prepared for different and more service. You've got to understand something. Life is part of being prepared. And we're every time you're doing something, that's great. God's going to be using that to prepare you for more, to prepare you for greater, to prepare you for stronger, because He doesn't want you becoming complacent. He wants you to grow. So let me give you the backstory for this. You'll want to go with me to the book of Luke and chapter 5. The backstory is like this. Jesus had been in, after He was tempted in the wilderness, baptized by John and tempted in the wilderness, He went to Nazareth, His hometown. He went to a synagogue and opened up the Scriptures and read, and they didn't like what He said. So they went to kill Him, and He left Nazareth. Isn't that sad? How disappointing would that be, that the people of the hometown you grew up in want to kill you because they don't recognize who you are? So He makes his headquarters in Capernaum, not Nazareth, but in Capernaum, and He actually moves in with Peter and his family, and He's there for a while, and He's involved in doing miracles. He's in the synagogue, and He heals a guy who's got a demon. He deals with, gets rid of the demon. And then He goes back to Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law is sick, and He rebukes the fever. She gets up and starts serving. And in the evening, the Sabbath evening, when they can move around again, people start coming and bringing sick people and demonized people to Jesus, and He deals with them. And so He's been doing this in Capernaum, and He's getting to be well-known. And they want Him to stick around, but He says He's got to go to other places. So He goes to other places and comes back. Capernaum becomes a headquarters. And so He comes back to Capernaum, and He's there right now in chapter 5. So would you follow with me? I'm going to start reading in verse 1 of chapter 5. So it was, as the multitude pressed about Him to hear the word of God, He stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And He saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then He got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And so He sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. Verse 4 of chapter 5 of Luke. When He had stopped speaking, He said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets to catch." But Simon answered and said to Him, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. That's a lot of fish, huh? When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you shall catch men." And when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed Him. Now, Lord, help us to understand truths from this passage of Scripture of the event that took place a long time ago. Would you make it relevant to our lives today? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, here Peter is being prepared for greater service. He's getting ready to step into a new thing that he had never done before. He'd been with Jesus, but now he's going to be involved with Jesus in a new way. And so this story tells us how that event began. You see, God's plan for us is to grow. You understand that, right? He wants you to grow. in Peter wrote one day, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, growth is a process you continue doing. You're going to die one day. Until that time, you're supposed to be growing. In the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul wrote these words. Listen, he was talking about people who were not walking God's way. And he said, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, he's talking about their faith, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Growth. You get that? You're doing things and growing and doing things. If you're not doing things, by the way, it's going to stunt your growth. You've got to be involved in service. Got to be involved in ministry. And then he continues in that passage in Colossians, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. We don't many times walk in patience and have long-suffering with joy, do we? Comes with grumbling and complaining. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. So we're living God's kingdom out of Satan's kingdom. We're to be understanding that it's a growth process that we never end. You never get totally grown because the standard is Jesus. Remember, God causes all things to work together for good to those who love Him, to those who are called according to His purpose, that we might be conformed to the image of His Son. And if you get to be like Jesus, where you can stand up and say, I'm like Jesus, that's it, then you don't have to grow anymore. Till then, you're involved in the growth process. But there's a big danger for us, a big, big danger for us as Christians. And that big danger is this. We can become comfortable with where we are in the Christian life. We can become comfortable with our walk and not step out with the Lord in new places for challenge, new places that are different, new places that get us out of our comfort zone of ministry. And yet He wants us there. Because as we step out of our comfort zone into those places, we're dependent upon Him. We need Him. And you know what? That dependency and stepping out of those places causes us to grow. And we grow. Now, I'm really excited that most of y'all are stepping out. Now, great to hear stories about people today that are stepping out. I think that's marvelous. We all need to be doing it because it's part of life. You know, I was thinking, what are some signs that I get comfortable? Here's some signs. We no longer seem to be concerned about the spiritual condition of neighbors and family members and co-workers. You know, it's easy to get sloughed off on that. You've been praying and then you just... nothing really seems to be happening much in the physical realm that you can see, and you sort of slough off. You haven't had a spiritual conversation with a non-Christian in a long time. That's a tendency. Those are great growth points when you have those. You haven't had a conversation with a non-believer in a long time. The Bible seems like a book of history, lifeless. It's not exciting to you anymore. It's a sign that you're getting too comfortable in just living your life rather than walking in growth patterns with the Lord. You don't give of your financial resources sacrificially. Oh, you give, but not sacrificially, not where you're really giving and you know it. And your prayers don't seem to be making it past the ceiling. That means you've been complacent. Do you ever get that way? I've been that way. It doesn't even dawn on you that God could do something incredible, radical in your life. And that could happen today. You're not living that way. When you don't live that way, you miss stuff that God wants to do. And it just goes right past you. He wants to use you, but you're busy just, I'm living my life. You're just complacent. And that's dangerous. It's very dangerous. You see, one day in Peter's life, a special thing happened. We read about it. He was just going through the normal course of life. And all of a sudden, the Lord intercepted his life for something that was going to be radical and going to change his life. And I guarantee you, those kinds of things happen. But if you're not looking for them, they're going to pass you by. And those things come, you don't know when they're going to come. You don't know when those things are going to happen. We just don't know. Moses was keeping sheep. Remember that? In the wilderness? And all of a sudden, there was this sight he'd never seen. A bush is burning. That's not the unique thing. The unique thing is it doesn't burn up and it keeps blazing. And so he wants to go up and find out what's going on. And you know the story, right? On that day, God called him to a new service, a new type of setting for his life. And it was dynamic. You know the judges? There's Deborah and Barak. There's Gideon. There's Ehud. They were just going on their normal day's patterns. Nothing was unique. And all of a sudden, God shows up and wants to use them in a special way. No warning. It just happened. And that day changed the course of their life. David was keeping sheep. I mean, he didn't know Samuel was coming to town because his dad didn't call him. He was just the run of the litter, the last of the kids, unimportant. And all of a sudden, on that day, his life was transformed because the Lord had sent Samuel to anoint the next king. You remember that? And Samuel had pegged out which one of, he thought the first one of Jesse's boys was it. Surely this is the one to be king. And the Lord said, not pass him by. And he went through all of them till he got to David. And David was not the choice of Samuel. He didn't have any qualities to make him king. And yet he was the one that God chose. That day transformed David's life forever. See, God wants to give you these days that will change your life. And it's simple little things that can all of a sudden change your life. You remember Esther? Esther was living her life just as a lady who is of Jewish heritage. And all of a sudden, the situation happened that she was put into a beauty contest and she was chosen to be queen. Can you imagine what happened on that day when those things took place? And yet we know it wasn't something just in the natural, don't we? Because Mordecai, her uncle, heard about a plot to kill the Jews, and he told her about it and told her she needs to go and stand before the king. You remember that? And yet she said, if I go in, he can kill me. And yet she came to the place where she said, if I die, I die. That was the day she wasn't planning on. She didn't put it into her notebook of her schedule. It was a day that happened. And it changed not only her life, but it changed the history of the Jewish people. See, God wants to use you. And these days that we walk through, that if you don't recognize that today is a day God could do something, what's He up to? What's He going to do? Well, you see, our life is never to stand still. God's always calling us to something greater. He's always calling us to something more challenging because He wants us to grow. And we grow when we step into those challenging situations. And sometimes they're not stuff we'd sign up for. Sometimes it's like what Ben's having to go through. Is that a growth place for him? I mean, I've been praying for him because it's a major growth place because he has to juggle so many different things and work through it, and it's hard. And these things aren't necessarily going to be easy, but they are going to cause you to grow, and you're going to have maturity come in your life that's amazing and abilities come in your life that are wonderful as you seek to serve the Lord. Now, the preparation that he went through, it's kind of unique what God does as he moves us through this. And three responses are here in Peter's life that can show to us a test to see if we are ready for God to take us to the next thing. The three little tests, they're not hard, they're not difficult, but I find them regularly in people's lives. Let me just share you those three tests. Here's the first one. They're responses. The first response is this. How do you respond to disappointments? How do you handle disappointment? How do you handle failure? How do you handle things that don't go your way? I'm sure you run into those things, right? Shake your head like this. Because we all do. How do you handle those? Peter had fished all night with his guys. And hadn't caught anything. Now, fishing for a lot of people is a vacation. For him, it was a vocation. It was his job. That means they had no money at that point in juncture. See, his business wasn't going well. What could he have done? What are some negative responses he could have had to that? I'm asking you. Quit. Instead of washing his nets, he could have been selling his nets. Right? What else? Sorry?
Complaining.
Yeah. Could have been complaining and getting all upset. Could have been blaming other people, right? I mean, all these boats out here, how are you going to catch anything? Everybody out here doing all this. There's no way you can catch anything. It's just too many people out. Or he could do what a lot of people do. They blame God. And that happens. And God gets the blame for the situations. Why is God causing this to happen to me? Well, sometimes we're in a spiritual battle. You don't recognize it. That's what's going on. You need to stand against that. Other times, it's just the way life happens, and it's okay. Disappointments take place. I mean, Jesus just came off a great disappointment in Nazareth, right? Where they rejected him. Disappointment is part of life. It's what you do with it that's super important. And if you handle it correctly, then God can use you in situations in life. It's all preparation. All those things are preparation for God being able to use you. Peter didn't do those things. He didn't blame others. He didn't try to escape and run away. He accepted the situation and chose not to give up. Because it's a choice. What do you do when you face difficulties? How do you handle them? It's a test. It's a test. How do we respond to those disappointments? That's the first test. How do you do? I think there's a reason Jesus called fishermen. Because fishermen to fish, you had to have patience, right? And you had to have determination. And you had to have faith and hope that you're going to... I mean, you're throwing these nets into what you can't see. And you have to trust God with the situation and not give up. I think there's a good reason 7, maybe 8 of the apostles were fishermen. It's a lot from one profession. Here's the second test. How do you respond to directives the Lord gives you? And Jesus is being pressed around by a lot of people. They needed to hear what he had to say. So he says to Peter, put out a little bit from the land. So Peter takes the boat, right at the edge of the water there, on the shore to some degree, and pushes it out, throws down the anchor rock. And Jesus starts to speak. But he did the little thing. Sometimes God asks us to do the little things so that then we can do the big things. Sometimes it's just a nice word to somebody. Sometimes it's a card. Sometimes it's a smile. So sometimes it's little things. If you are available to the Lord and let Him work through you and use you as His servant, the little things are important. Well, Jesus sat down and He taught the multitudes the Word of God from the boat. And guess what comes from hearing the Word of God? What comes from hearing the Word of God? Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God, right? So faith was being, as he's sharing that, Peter's growing in that a little bit. Faith's coming because as you get in the Word of God, faith is here. If you need your faith strengthened, you know what you need to do? Get in the Word. Because it's the Word of God that brings up your faith. That's why Satan will work so hard to keep you from the Word of God. If he can keep you for a period of time from being in the Scriptures, he's going to win because your faith level is going to go way, way down. Well, then Jesus looked at Peter, And he said, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Now, I've got to tell you something. We look at that and go, yeah, it's pretty nice. Go ahead and do it. But you've got to put yourself in Peter's shoes. I mean, look what he says. Master, we toiled all night. It's not like we haven't tried. And we didn't catch anything. And after all, you know how you catch fish in their day? You went into the shallow areas at night. You had usually some type of a torch or a lantern on your boat. And you went into those shallow areas to get the fish. What did Jesus ask him to do? In daylight, to go out into the... That's not where you catch fish. Remember, they weren't using hooks. They were using nets. You don't catch fish that way at that time. And yet Jesus was asking him to do something that went contrary to what he understood as his profession. Jesus, by profession, was what? It had been really easy for Peter to think, Lord, you're just a carpenter. You don't understand. No, Lord, thanks, but we're going to wait to go tonight. He could have done that. But Peter said, nevertheless, at your word. You hear nevertheless? I mean, that's it doesn't make a lot of sense, but we'll do it. See, sometimes God asks you to do things that run contrary to how you think things ought to be. They run contrary to the way that everybody else does it. They run contrary to even the laws of your profession. But God asks you to do that. I mean, he could have done a number of things. He said it's not a good day for fishing. He could have said you're a carpenter, like I said. And you know, he had to think of this. If he goes out at this time, everybody's looking at him. This is not what you do. How stupid is this to do this? If he'd go out and they came back with empty nets, he'd be a laughingstock of the entire community. And that story about the day that Peter was stupid would pass down in history. But instead, Peter chose to deny all that, and he chose to follow the directives of the Lord. How do you handle the authority of the Lord in your life? Is he Lord? Do you let him direct you? Or have you already made up your mind on how you're going to handle things? That's the second test. You see, the Lord many times wants you to leave your comfort zone. And you enter into the non-comfort zone. You know when you're in it, don't you? Have you been in it before? You go into that non-comfort zone, it doesn't feel good. But that's okay. You're learning to trust the Lord. You're learning to follow what He says. You're learning to walk with Him in the situation. And so that's the second test. How do we respond to His directives? How do we respond to failures, disappointments? How do we respond to His directives? And then the last one is, how do you respond to blessings? Because he followed the way of the Lord, he experienced a great blessing. I mean, I don't know how the Lord did it. That's up to him. But fish hit that net. So many fish hit the net that it was starting to break. He had to call his partners over to help him. They had to take the boat, get it out there. They had to then bring in the fish. I mean, everybody was excited as all these fish are getting in there. And they filled the boat so much that they began to sink. That's a lot of extra weight that's there, pushing the boats down that much. That's amazing. So, how do we respond to blessings? You know what Peter did? After they get it all in, he falls down at the knees of Jesus, the feet of Jesus, and he says, depart from me. Major humility. Major humility. How do you handle the blessings? You see, when God blesses us, it's real easy for us to think, I got here by pulling myself up my own bootstraps. That's what people in the world do. You know? I'm so proud of me. Look what I've done. As we pat ourselves on the back. You know, I mean, it's real easy to forget why you have anything. It's the Lord's graciousness. It's the Lord's faithfulness. I've seen many Christians run to pride. And you know what comes before a fall? Pride. The scriptures say humility isn't denying your strengths. Or the concept is, humility isn't denying your strengths, but it's being honest about your weaknesses. I couldn't have done this. God did this. God's the one who gives me help. God provides for me. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2 says, pride leads to disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom. Jesus said in Matthew 23, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. How do you handle success? Do you recognize its source? Well, those are just little things to remember. There was a testimony that was going on where a guy who was a Christian had been blessed. He had a lot of money. He had a great family. He had a big house, had a new car. And he's talking about all the things that he had. I have this, I have this, I have this, I have this. And after he spent about 5 minutes talking about all the great things that he had in the testimony meeting, he said, what else could the Lord give me? From the back, someone shouted, a good dose of humility. Well, I don't know how that meeting ended, but I do know that we need to be careful. Because the evil one wants to fan us to pride rather than us recognizing that all blessings, all promotions, all bonuses, all provisions, great things that happen to us, they come from the Lord. He's the source, not we ourselves. So that's the third test. How do we respond to blessing? God uses ordinary people, that's you and me, to do extraordinary things. Are you ready for Him to use you? That's the question. One of the ways that you can check to make sure that you're ready is to ask yourself these questions. How do I respond to disappointments? Is it by continuing on, just walking with Him, trusting Him, battling where I need to, but not allowing the disappointment to lead me to discouragement and defeat? How do you respond to His directives? He might ask you to do little things. Those little things are so that He might use you for greater things. And how do you respond to blessings? Simple things, aren't they? But they're important. And we learn them at the feet of the Lord Jesus. Well, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you have provided for us such an easy way to determine how we're doing. And we'd have to say to you, Lord, we failed in being people who have given up on some things because of disappointment. But we thank you that you're always there to pick us up. We thank you for your example of how you handled disappointing times as you walked on the earth here. And you kept going for the greater purpose that the Father had for you. Help us, Lord, to be people who continue to go forward for the greater purpose that the Father has for us. Thank you, Lord, that you give to us directives and we choose to come under your authority and do what you say. And Lord, we seek forgiveness for those times when we have chosen to be selfish, wanting to just go our own way and not spend time to find out what you want us to do. Thank you, Lord, that you speak to us in our hearts. You speak to us from your word. Help us that we might be obedient to your authority. And thank you, Lord, for the great blessings you've given us. Would you guard our hearts as we walk in those blessings? By your Spirit, remind us who we are and who you are. That you're the one who provides us with all things. Help us to be like the psalmist. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me, bless His holy name. Because we recognize all the great benefits that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings. Please use us to serve you and keep us at your feet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.